So we're going to read from Mark chapter 13, starting at verse 21 this morning. Would you guys stand with me as we read the word together? Mark 13, starting at verse 21. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at your door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the inspiration of your word and the power of your transforming heart for us, that you guide us in the ways of love and kindness, that you are forming us more into your image, Jesus. We hear the words of this passage and we ask, Holy Spirit, help us to understand. In our foolishness, Lord, we ask for wisdom. Give us your heart, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So about, what year is this, 26? So it'd be 22 years ago, I hiked my first and only 14er. I learned a lesson that day that I won't do it again. That's basically... So there's 58 14ers, and you can buy a T-shirt that says you've climbed them all, but you have to have climbed them all. It's like the Colorado Native stickers, the bumper stickers. You have to certify that you were born here before you get one of those stickers. And you have to certify that you've climbed all 58 before you buy the T-shirt. You guys know that I'm saying that in jest. Some of you are actually wondering if that's true. No. But yeah, a group of us went to the president's. That's Democrat Cameron Lincoln Bross up near Fair Play. That's right. Thank you. We hadn't done it before. We got up at like 5 in the morning. You can't get there anymore. They've closed it off. And it's 4 14ers that you can hike. Between each one, and you get all 4 in the same day. And for those who don't know, the area between the 14s is called a saddle. So you like, you go up to the top and then you saddle down. So you don't have to climb all the way back down, but you do have to go down and back up. And this hike, remember we're at altitude, is 7.5 miles round trip. I wouldn't walk 7.5 miles here, and I'm doing it at altitude. It was a massive accomplishment for me, and I was sore for a week after. Now, how many of you guys have actually done 14er hikes? A good amount. It is hard. It's incredibly hard. And adding these saddles going between, you don't have any perspective on when this hike is going to be done. And you could, like, between Lincoln and Cameron, no, I think it's Democrat and Lincoln. It's just like rocks. And you're just walking, and you can see the top of Lincoln ahead, but it's not getting any closer. And you're putting one foot in front of the next, and you're not even halfway. It is horrible. I legitimately, it crossed my mind, I could die up here. And the only option was to go forward, right? Going back is the same amount of energy. It feels a little bit like reading this passage from Mark. Our location in time is a little bit like being stuck in that saddle between peaks, where it's just impossible to see the end. And you're looking around, and one peak is sunny and warm, the other it's snowing, wind is ripping across your face. You have 3 cliff bars left, and you're wondering, how long is this going to last? I mean, it really does put into perspective those prayers of how long, O Lord, from the Psalms. How long do we have to wait? Lord, this world is so broken. And Jesus here is listing thing after thing after thing. When you see these things, you know the end is near. And it's like, yeah, we're seeing them. And is the end near? He's like, yeah. And then at the end of Revelation, he says, I will come back soon. You're like, soon is a very different time in the kingdom of heaven than it is here on earth. When I tell Jess I'll be there soon, for me, it means I'm thinking about packing my stuff up. For her, she still has 5 people to talk to. You guys know what I'm talking about, the church life. I grew up in the church, and I remember being ready to leave, and my parents would just keep talking to people. And I'm like, what do you have to talk about? But we do. We live in the saddles of time, don't we? Between peaks. Christ at his coronation, the crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, the peak back there is all behind us. And we know we're headed to the time when Christ will return, but we don't know if we have enough energy to get there. And we live in this in-between of time, like a waiting room. But you can't go backwards, and you must move forward. So often when we pray, and I love what Roberto shared, is the whole event here is like we are pursuing a life with Jesus. That's it. And we have to invoke the Spirit in our life, because if we are doing this on our own, all we're doing is eating Clif Bars and drinking water and putting one foot in front of the next. We need the Spirit of God to remind us that there is a purpose to these steps. There's a reason why we're here. And being caught in the saddles of time is not an encouraging space to be. God, do we need you right now? I'm not the only one that feels it. I know that. We look, we watch the news, we see the junk going on Facebook. It's so discouraging. God, do we need you? I don't have the energy to deal with this. Can't we just clean this mess up? But here we are, on the rocky ground, one foot in front of the next. And that's where Christ meets us. Now, you guys are familiar with the passage where Jesus casts the demonic and the hordes of demons into the swine and casts them off the end of a cliff. You guys know that passage? I don't know the exact address of it, but actually, they've done some research, and they think they've identified where the demons actually went, like some theological research, and they figured out where these demons went. So they went into Facebook, actually. Didn't see that coming, did you? But it is exhausting, you guys, honestly. And we live in this anticipation of the return of Christ. And here we are, these broken vessels, just doing our best. And what's beautiful about this, and we've been dancing between Mark and Daniel. And Jesus is referencing here something that happens in Daniel 12. And so we're going to go there in a minute. But something Daniel says is that in this time, the people will shine like stars. And what a beautiful picture of shining like stars. Here we are, these broken vessels. And we look glamorous to the world. Now listen to this, from Daniel 12. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's not that long. And you could follow along in your Bibles if you want. I do read from NIV for those who are wondering. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, the stars. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Daniel, but you, Daniel, roll up, seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase their knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward the heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these people, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. What a beautiful and confusing passage. But gosh, you guys, when the wind starts howling and the wars and rumors of wars and cosmic shakings, is this the end? Is the world ending? Yeah, it is. I've got great news. It's coming. And I believe it in my heart of hearts. Christ is returning. We just don't know when that's going to be. And the angel said to Daniel, go about your day. And Jesus said to his disciples, watch out, be on the lookout. Gosh, you guys, anxiety over headlines, trying to fix the world's problems. So many of us get angry at that saddling moment, wanting this journey to be easier. The abomination of desolation, there's this beastly power standing where it doesn't belong, desecrating the holy temple, demanding worship. There's a period of suffering described as the worst since the beginning of nations. Nations rising up against nations, wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, perversion of love, increase in wickedness, families turning on one another, brothers delivering brothers to death, children rising against their parents, hatred of all nations. Sun and moon losing their light, stars falling from the sky, false messiahs, false prophets, leaders promising safety while bypassing the cross. The beastly script we've been describing throughout this Daniel Mark series, this behavior, a demand for total loyalty, leaders placing themselves in the role of a messiah, beastly scripts of domination, using power to devour rather than heal, and these perversions of love where world leaders promote their own agenda and call it love. I'll go back to Mark 13 at 26 and 27. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. It's a terrifying set of prophecies and expectations, things that when I was a 12-year-old growing up in the church, used to pray, God, don't come back. That's scary. I'm terrified. And I don't want my life to end. I want to experience raising a family. I want to live this life. Why would you come back and ruin all of that? But here's where Jesus speaks to us. In 32 through 34, he says, "About that day, no one knows the day or hour, not even angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." I'm going to repeat that because how many predictions are there of end times? I was told it was coming in 2000 when I was a kid. They were pretty sure about it. They'd done the tracking, the charts. About that day or the hour, no one knows. Let me say that again. Jesus said this. Write this down if you have to. But about that day or the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Jesus himself doesn't even know the day or the hour, only the Father. So you might be really good at interpreting the Bible and reading the signs and looking at world leaders and seeing the plan, and you know that's the date. And I tell you what, you're wrong. And I've got the words from the Son of Man, Jesus, who says you cannot know when this is over. And his instruction to us, be on guard, be alert. It's like a man going away, Jesus said. He leaves his house, puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. All this chaos we see, the signs of the end, these are not signs to stop and sit on the rooftops and wait for the return. It's a sign that the gospel and the task of advancing it is ours, each with their assigned task, going about the business of the Father. What do we do in the meantime? Jesus, go about the things that I've asked you to do. Daniel, walk, move forward. You're in this saddling time where the wind is killing you and ripping the outer layer of skin off your face, but don't stop and wait for me because I'm ahead. The return's not coming now. Keep walking. Keep going. All these terrors, friends, these are just signals. These are just reminders that this world is temporary. These are the kind of events that throughout the history of mankind have continued to play over and over and over again. These beastly scripts of world rulers dominating, overpowering, and destroying God's creation. The things that we are watching on the news right now, it's the same story told over and over and over again. And Christ tells us there is only one answer to this solution. I have come to bring peace. I have come to make salvation. I have come to set the way for you to a new life rooted in service and submission and kindness. Where the people who are being taken advantage of, we come underneath instead of over top. It's like Jesus came as a baby to show us he can be the most vulnerable. But that instruction remains, watch, go your way until the end. The NRSV in Mark 13 says, keep awake. I like that. Keep awake. That's not easy stuff to do, you guys. What Jesus is asking us to do is walk, keep our eyes awake, and move forward. But in that process, the word tells us we will shine like stars. We will shine like stars. While the beastly world demands performances and sacrifices, the Son of Man says, I have made the sacrifice for you, and you just get to be broken for me. And you will shine like a star. It's in those saddle times, like, you know how river rocks are worn, there's no edges on these rocks. Year after year, the water just softens them, wears them down. Sometimes it feels like the walk of being in that saddle, the cold winter winds are forming us, they're softening our own edges. Some of us need more wind than others, for sure. Get those hard edges to wear off. Friends, we shine like stars not by being perfect, but by being broken. Move to the next slide, Asher. From Philippians chapter 2, Paul grabs onto this image. Verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Friends, we shine like stars when we live humbly and broken. Not taking credit for the things that God's done, but inviting him into our life. In this warped and crooked generation, we shine by refusing to grumble or argue. And the prescription from Paul is hold firmly to the word of life. The promise that this walk and that peak that never feels like it's getting any closer, one day will come. And our Savior will return. And he will restore all of this and make everything new again. And I have to put my hope in that. That's something worth walking for. And it's so easy to put my feet on, or my eyes on my feet and grumble and feel frustrated about the walk. But if we hold firmly to the word of life, our eyes can begin to look up. And we see where this journey is going. The shine is the walk. And Daniel says, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" And the answer is, "Go your way. You don't get to know. Go. Go. You don't shine by standing still. You shine by going your way. Our radiance is found in the persistence. Our radiance is found in our endurance. Through the trials and the difficulties and the pains and the brokenness, the anxieties and the fears. As we've been talking, that is where Christ meets us. In the most difficult moments of our life. And it's there when we say, Jesus, I'm desperate for you. I don't have enough energy to take one more step. He says, take my yoke on. My burden is easy and light. And follow me. Friends, the weight of this life is hard, but our radiance is found through the difficult places and the challenges we face. Like I said, if you haven't been uncomfortable for Jesus, maybe you're not doing it right. Because mine is a daily struggle. My walk is hard. But Christ is with me in each step. And I know we can't see the whole trail. We only see 3 to 6 feet in front of us, right? That's just life. But listen to this. Psalm 16, 9 through 11 says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure. Because you will not abandon me in the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." I'm going to invite our worship team to come up as we wrap up. Friends, our journey, This hike is not about our ability to get to that destination. Going back to how Roberto shared with us, the journey is an invitation to walk with Christ. He will meet us there in that walk. We talked about a king with dusty feet. Jesus meeting the disciples on the shores of Galilee. Friends, we have moved from looking for a king with a golden crown to following a king with dusty feet. One who is walking with us in the mountains. And when we see that, we begin to shine for the whole world. We shine for the person sitting next to you. We shine for the neighbor, the single mother, those broken relationships. Our unhoused guy who's leaving his stuff behind the shed. The prize is Jesus. The prize is him. It always has been. And he's not just waiting at the end. He is walking with us by his Spirit. He is the one that's giving us fresh water and a new Clif Bar when we're stuck in the middle of that saddle. I'm going to pray. Would you guys stand with me as we go into worship? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we invite you now to move on our hearts. Help us not just to stare at our own feet in the middle of this journey, not just to look on the horizon and stop and wait for you, Lord. Help us to walk this faithful walk that we can, at the end of our life, say we have been faithful, Lord, to walk with you, to live our life formed after your image. Father, help us to take a next faithful step each day, no matter the difficulties or the joys that bring. Lord, help us to be your faithful servants, your faithful children, your ambassadors for this kingdom that is here and is yet to come, Lord. Let's worship.